Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, good evening, everybody. This is Lethal Lead Keys Real Talk Podcast. But tonight, this is the Three Bros Fantasy Football Show. First off, we want to wish everybody a happy holiday season. Be safe, enjoy your families, wear your masks, and practice social distancing. But I have to introduce my two special co-hosts, my two brothers. What's up, Carl? What's going on, baby?
Yo.
What's up, fam? How's it going?
Man, it's good. How was your Thanksgiving?
Man, hey, I might put on about 5. I'm going to have to work extra hard in the morning and get 10 off.
Okay, okay. And then I got my other brother, Jermaine, up here. What's up, man? How you doing, bro?
Man, what's up, dog? Everything is good.
How's Thanksgiving?
This way, man. Family. Absolutely fantastic. I ate a lot of food. Went to work hurting. That's what it's all about.
That's right. That's right. Well, man, look, man. You know, me and my two brothers, you know, we've been playing fantasy football forever today. So, you know, we thought it'd be a good idea to have this show to help you guys out there win your fantasy football leagues. So we're here to part knowledge upon you. Tonight we're going to be talking about the Thanksgiving Day game between Houston and Detroit and Washington smashing Dallas. But we'll be talking about those games from a fantasy standpoint. We'll talk about winning moves or losing moves that we made this past week. And then we'll tell you who should be on your bench and who should definitely take the field this week on your fantasy team. So, and then time permitting, we'll give you some sleepers also. But look, man, we got to get into it, man. Yesterday we had two games, and both games were basically blowouts. But we did have some fantasy standouts yesterday. So I'm going to start with you, Jermaine. Let's talk about the Houston-Detroit game. What stood out for you the most yesterday?
Deshaun Watson, man, is definitely, I would say top four. He really had control of the offense. He played an excellent game. It's just surprising how the way they played. You couldn't believe that they're 4-7. So I mean, he was masterful, man.
Yeah, I actually played him in my DraftKings yesterday. I played him, Duke Johnson, and Will Fuller in my DraftKings yesterday. You know, it's kind of, and I actually picked up Houston's defense in my DraftKings too. But it was just amazing how Houston is probably going to waste Deshaun Watson's career.
Yeah.
And that's, I'm talking real football now. He's probably always going to be putting up numbers, you know, because of his skill set. But as far as, like, winning playoff games and probably going to a Super Bowl, until they get a real general manager and a real coach, I just think they're going to waste the early years of his career, man. But, look, we're going to switch over to the Washington-Dallas game. And I'm going to start with you, Carl. Man, the Washington football team put a beat down on the Cowboys yesterday. And I know last week, and I'll start them and sit them, you know, I did talk about Alex Smith a little bit, how, you know, he going to have decent yards, but he just don't put up fantasy points. But I talk about Antonio Gibson yesterday.
Yeah, look, I got Antonio Gibson in, I think, 3 leagues. I remember in the preseason, you know, we was all talking about this guy, and we all said, hey, if I'm in, you know, 6th, 7th round, I might pick this guy up as a sleeper running back. And, man, let me tell you, I am so happy that I started him yesterday in 4 leagues. You hear me? Dude got me like 40 points in every one of them leagues.
Wow.
Killing him. And I didn't expect it because he scored like a touchdown in like 3 straight games. So I was like, okay, you know my rule. If I can get 10 points out you, you earned your start that week.
Mm-hmm.
One touchdown or 100 yards minimum. And I expected him to at least get that. My man, he outperformed all my expectations. He is my fantasy superstar. for the week, and we ain't even finished week 12 yet.
Okay. And me, not being so smart, I actually had my man on the bench, and I was like, well, I got Miles Sanders, I got Chris Carson, and I want to say Kareem Hunt. And I was like, man. So I went with Sanders, Carson, and Hunt. And I'm hoping that I don't lose because of this move. But I'm going to talk about Logan Thomas, though, man. Logan Thomas is actually rounded into a must-start tight end every week with Alex Smith at quarterback. Because, as we know, Alex Smith is not going to throw the ball down the field. So, you know, I think it hurts Terry McLaurin, but it helps Logan Thomas and J.D. McKissick. But I started on Logan Thomas in my DraftKings, and I also had him on, like, three of my fantasy teams. And he had a decent day yesterday for a tight end. You know, he threw a 20-yard pass. He caught a touchdown. I want to say he had, like, 50 yards. So he had a decent day for his tight ends. And I say as long as Alex Smith is the quarterback, I would start Logan Thomas every week.
Yeah,
he was on my start list last week. He was on my start list. I thought he would eat pretty good last week with dump off Alex Smith.
Yep.
Yeah, man. All right, man. Let's talk some real football now. I got to talk about this guy because he's the highest paid running back in the league, and he's probably giving you. Only reason I start him is because I don't have anybody I would start over him. But, man, Zeke is having a terrible year, man. Give me your thoughts on Zeke, Jermaine.
I don't think Zeke, y'all, is motivated now, man. When Prescott went down, that was his best friend on the team. Zeke just hasn't been the same, man. I don't know. I don't think it's nothing – dealing with the injuries, not even really the scheme. I just don't think, you know, losing Prescott psychologically has done something to Elliott, man. He's only had, well, I think last week was his first 100-yard game the whole year. And I can't put my finger on it, man. He does have some issues with his line, too, but still, that's regardless.
He got an issue with the line, but I think between his quarterback going down and COVID and him getting paid already, he's not motivated this year. Even though, you know, this is his time to shine and, you know, show everybody why he's the league's highest paid running back. Right now, man, he might as well be on the COVID list or injured reserve. That's how much he's putting forth for the team right now.
Yeah, man. Yeah, his boys ain't playing, man. If I could say this real quick, I think Jerry Jones, I will still say it. I don't care. I'm on record for saying it. His lack of stance with all the things going on early in the year, I'm confident that has played a part, too, with them as a whole. And I just have to throw that in there.
Man, I think Dak going down and that offensive line getting old, man, it has definitely played a part in Zeke's demise. But turning the ball over, man, that's just can't keep doing that week after week after week. Turnovers help to hurt the team, and especially when you are, quote-unquote, the superstar on offense. And, you know, and everybody know once Dak went down, Zeke had to become the man, dog, especially with Andy Dalton as a quarterback. You know, Andy Dalton has seen better days, but Andy Dalton has won some games. But, you know, he's got to have everything around him go right. Those years that he was in Cincinnati, they had a running game. They had wide receivers, and they had a solid defense. So it ain't like he didn't have talent around him. You know, the Bengals did have talent, you know, and he did win some games. But Zeke, come on, bro. I think Zeke probably next year. I don't see Zeke going in the first round next year. If he do go, to be late. It won't be in the first half of the draft like he's been going. And I think me personally, depending on what their quarterback situation looking like, I might stay away from Zeke next year. You know, who knows what they're going to do with Dak. Are they going to re-sign Dak? If they get a top-two pick, will they draft a quarterback and let Dak go? You know, we just don't know, man. I think the quarterback situation will dictate a lot on whether or not people going to bring Zeke back. But I wouldn't be surprised if Jerry Jones tried to trade him and, you know, try to roll with Tony Pollard.
I don't, you know, giving up my small thought on next year's draft. I won't shy away from him because I think that I'm hoping that it's some type of injury that even if it's not there, he'll claim was the reason why he couldn't do what he needed to do, and he'll holler that it's comeback season, yada, yada, yada. And either way, I think he'd be motivated off of this poor performance. And so I think whoever does get him next year, now I'm not giving him, you know, I will give a first round fantasy grade, but whoever picks him up, I think might be surprised at his performance next year.
Yeah, I'm definitely with you about first round. I think in the first round, depending on who available, you might just, I don't know, man. It all depends on what the draft board looking like. But, man, it's just hard to see Zeke, like, really performing this bad, dog. It's like, to me, I would start Mike Davis over him for Carolina.
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Who would have ever thought that?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But look, man, we rolling into week 11. So I think in most Yahoo leagues, these next 2 weeks are basically jockeying for playoff position, playoff spots. So, all right, Carl, give me a move, man, that you made last week that either. Gate that's brought you home the dub or sent you home with the L's?
Man, let me start off. You know, I said it in text message earlier, but I made a grave GM mistake in our league, Big Clark League. And after I looked at my team, you know, I said to myself, why did I not start Jared Goff? You know, against the Bucks, because if I had done that, I wouldn't have lost by point, and my brother Jermaine would be in number 4 seed right now instead of number 6 seed.
Yeah,
I'd have blew this guy out. That was my bad move I wish I had made. You know, I was riding Kyler Murray. You know, he had been putting up great numbers, the matchup against Seattle, I said to myself, okay, Seattle's been struggling on defense. I'm going to start this guy. You know, Jared Goff going against the Bucks. You know, Bucks defense, you know, top 5 in the league. There's no way that I'm going to start this guy. And lo and behold, them boys say, we ain't running the ball tonight. We just going to throw the ball. And he just gutted us all night. Put doggone almost 40 points on the board. And that would have been what I needed to do. So that's my that's a move I wish I had made last week, because I still would have been I'm still in first place, but, you know, I would have locked it up for sure instead of still fighting for it with my brother who will remain nameless.
All right, man, give me a move that you made last week or that you didn't make last week. They gave you the L or caused you to walk home with that smile on your face with the dub.
Hey, bro, this is an easy one, man. It was I went 3-0 last week, and I got my man right here, Justin Herbert. It was between him and Brady, man, because I feel like Brady, you know, if he comes in, if he's coming off a loss, he comes back strong, man. But Herbert, I just can't bench, man, for nothing. I wouldn't bench him pretty much unless I had a Mahomes, man, on the same roster. And he gave me like 38 points. And he's been playing excellent, man. I've been riding this cat. He's been one of the biggest reasons for my turnaround in my season is trusting him, man, over Brady and over Breeze. I've been starting him ever since, man. So that was my move, just sticking with my gut.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I thought you would have said traded for Keenan Allen in one league. Did you win that league?
Man, yeah, bro. That's been my biggest move. That one has been my biggest move, man, moving from Evans, bro. Yes. That's my biggest move of the year, best move by far.
Actually, I want to say this week against my brother Carl, the bull that kept our game really, really close is the one that he just said. Actually, I played Tom Brady over Jared Goff, and it actually made our game a little bit closer. If I would have went with Jared Goff, it wouldn't even have been close. But I have Jared Goff and Tom Brady in, like, two different leagues, and then I have Tom Brady and Matt Stafford in another league. It's like, man, like this week, I got Goff. I'm going to start Brady again this week because I think he's going to light Kansas City up. I think this is a game that Tampa is going to have to just – they know they got to score this week. You know you got to score. And I think Brady going to be up for the challenge. I think AB going to be up for the challenge. I think Godwin going to be up for the challenge. But, man, I'm going to have this – man, it's going to be every week my team is going to go based on whether or not I started Tom Brady or not. And last week – I mean, for real, though, because it's like you know Brady – you know – we know what Brady has done in the past. We know what he's capable of doing. But he has to have time, man. That's one of the things, these young quarterbacks, they can move around. They can create time. He can't do that. But I think Sunday is going to be a high-scoring event, and I probably won't even turn my TV Sunday. That'll probably be the game plastered on my TV. But, you know, me and Big Bro played last week. You know, no competitive matchup. Came down to the Monday night game. And, you know... This week I play Lil Bro. So, hey man, hey, in fantasy football, man, like my team name is, there's no friends in fantasy football, dog. But you know, this week is going to be fun again. I know we all jockeying for position. I know Carl trying to keep that number one spot in the Big Clark League. I'm trying to get up there. But I think his schedule is more favorable than mine going down the stretch. So I just got to make sure I keep pace.
Yeah, he got a tough one, too, now.
Thank you.
Who he playing?
Bugatto, bro.
Oh, he's playing Dwight.
Yeah, I'm playing Dwight. Man. Yeah, he's number three right now.
Yeah, he behind me, yeah. And he smashed me.
Yeah, it's I don't have this ain't no easy one, you know.
No.
This time of year
don't supposed to be easy. This time of year, man, you actually you doing a lot of managing this time of the year. Even though we probably secure and making the playoffs, you still want to like really be rolling in the when you going into the playoffs. So. But look, man, here we go, man. Let's do it. All right, Jermaine, give me a quarterback you looking at sitting this week.
I'm definitely going with Ryan Tannehill, bro. The way the Titans have been playing now, he started off hot, but he has definitely cooled down. And yeah, man, and going up against Indianapolis, they play really, really great D. The last time he played them, he didn't do great. What's that? He said the last game against the Colts, he averaged less than 20 points. So he's one person I would definitely, if you got a better option out there, I would start him over Ryan Tannehill this week.
And him struggling is actually making me struggle with A.J. Brown. But A.J. Brown drops the ball a lot, too. But after seeing what the Colts did to Green Bay, I still think if old boy don't fumble the ball, I do think Aaron Rodgers marches them down the field and they get a score. But that's neither here nor there. But, all right, big bro, give me a quarterback you're looking at sitting this week.
Man, I'm sitting Carson Wentz against Seattle this week.
Again?
I still think that offense ain't where it need to be for him to be my starter yet. Unless he's playing the Falcons or somebody, I'm sitting that guy. He just ain't doing it for me yet.
And that's crazy because if you sit and watch a little bit of Philly's games, it's like, bro, they had a running game going, and then they throw the ball like three times in a row. It's like, what are y'all doing? I think Doug Peterson is the reason why Carson Wentz is struggling so much. But at the same time, as a quarterback, you do got to protect the ball. And that interception he threw on the right sideline last week against Cleveland, you can't make that throw, bro. It's like that in the rain, in the wind, if you ain't going to throw it low and away, you got to throw it out of bounds. And he just been trying to force it so much. But, yeah, man, last week we had Carson Wentz as a sit, and, actually made us look good last week. Quarterback I'm looking at seeing this week is whichever quarterback Chicago trots out there against Green Bay. I mean, if they go back to Trubisky, which I saw today he's going to start, he struggles against Green Bay. He hasn't played since, week five, something like that. And then you're going to throw him out there in a primetime game on Sunday night. Actually, I wish they would have had the Tampa Bay Kansas City game on primetime instead of the Green Bay Chicago game.
Yeah, man. He's terrible on primetime, bro.
He came to Tampa and got terrible at primetime.
Hey, man. But you know, we're gonna get to that too. We're gonna talk about that a little later. But whoever Chicago trots out there, Chicago really don't have a run game that Green Bay should be scared of, like the other teams they done played, like Tampa, Indy, who else ran the ball down their throat? Minnesota, anybody that can run the ball down their throat actually poses a threat to them, but I don't think Chicago can do it. So if you plan on trying the Chicago quarterback out there, don't do it. Look elsewhere. I would probably look at maybe Tua going against the Jets, or maybe Cam going against Arizona, maybe Baker going against Jacksonville. But I wouldn't trot out there a Chicago quarterback if it was up to me. All right, big bro, give me a running back you looking at sitting this week.
Who I got here? I got Melvin Gordon sitting this week against New Orleans. I know. I started him last week. It's a matchup thing, bro.
It's week to week, baby, based on matchup.
It's week to week. And New Orleans give up the fewest fantasy points to running back. So what I look like starting this guy if I got somebody else against that team? You know, start
Melvin
Gordon, sit Lindsey. you know, and find you somebody else that can get you some points, because they're not coming this week. If they do, you know, I mean, they are professionals, but I just don't see it as a team. Melvin Gordon getting much. He only got double digits, two out of the last six games. So, I wouldn't worry about him this week.
Yeah, because I know last week during the show, I said start New Orleans defense, because with Breeze out, the defense is going to take a step forward, and they definitely took two steps forward against Atlanta last week, and I think they're going to take another step forward this week going against Denver on the defensive line. The way they had eight sacks last week, interception, I want to say a fumble, forced fumble last week. So New Orleans defense is definitely rounding into form right now, especially with Breeze out. So, on with you. Actually, I had Lindsey in as my flex. I took him out and replaced him with Cole Beasley. So, I'm definitely with you. Give me a running back, Jermaine, that you're looking at sitting this week.
Yeah, man, I know Carl going to be happy about this one, because they need to give Ronald Jones the ball more, but I'm sitting Leonard Fournette. I figure, you know, once he got back healthy, he'll be the goal line back. And it really that hasn't panned out. Man, he really had a bad game last week, too. He had three drops. He looked terrible. And as far as PPR, you know, he scored less than 10 points in the last four games. And even though I know that Tampa Bay is going to have to throw the ball to keep up, it will behoove them to just go ahead and use Ronald Jones. I don't know why, Carl, you guys don't distrust the man and give him the ball, and why you got to get Fournette involved, but I wouldn't trust Fournette this week.
Me, with the offense they like to run, I know Big Bro probably going to grill me here. I'm going to make you a smile right here. I think the duo of Ronald Jones and Keyshawn Vaughn fits their offense better than Ronald Jones and Leonard Fournette.
Mm-hmm.
Keyshawn Vaughn, the rookie out of Vanderbilt, he can catch it, he can run it, he can pass block, he can do it all. He can run routes as a receiver. Keyshawn Vaughn is definitely, I thought he would see more time, but when we did our preview show and I found out and we talked about Fournette signing with Tampa, I just felt bad for Keyshawn Vaughn, because I just had a feeling that he would be worth a late round steal because of the offense that Brady likes to run. But I would like to see him get more playing time over Fournette, man.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not gonna disagree with that. It's funny because on my list, just as a secondary, in case somebody took my first one, I had on my sit list Ronald Jones and Fournette against the Chiefs. Sit both of their ass.
Mm-hmm.
But the only thing about it, bro, is Kansas City give up. They can't stop the run.
I know, but here's the deal with that.
But you just don't know who they're going to go with. You just don't know who Arians is going to go with. To me, I'm starting Ronald Jones this week in two of my leagues, because I think with Brady, you have to have the threat of the running game for the intermediate and the play action game to work. But all right, man, y'all are saying Fournette. I'm sitting on Gus Edwards, man. I know J.K. Dobbins and Ingram are out this week, and you know Baltimore plays Pittsburgh on Tuesday due to COVID. I'm not playing Gus Edwards against Pittsburgh, man. And then they're going to have RG3 at quarterback? No, sir.
Yeah.
You know Pittsburgh is going to load up on the run, and they're going to make RG3 beat them, who hasn't started since, what, week 17 last year? So, I'm saying Gus Edwards going against Pittsburgh. Actually, what I wrote is Gus Edwards versus Pittsburgh. Look elsewhere, exclamation point. So yeah, man, I'm not playing Gus Edwards this week. All right, big bro, give me a wide receiver that you're looking at sitting this week.
I'm sitting Juju this week, bro.
I think with the emergence, he hasn't performed last two weeks. But I think with the emergence of Claypool, obviously, and now Deontay Johnson, with Schuster a little hurt, I think those guys are going to outperform him this week, being that he's been limited all week as well. And I just think I'm sure if you got Juju, you got someone else you can move up, move your flex guy up if you're flexing a wide receiver, move him up and flex a running back into that spot. But yeah, sit Juju this week. And it's not even so much about the matchup. It's just about performance in this case.
And you know what, man? I feel bad for Juju, man, because he's actually playing for a contract, and Claypool and Johnson are all balling him. I wonder what Pittsburgh pay him, man, because, you know, they do develop wide receivers. If you just look at Deontay Johnson and Chase Claypool, and actually, James Watson is coming around too. And I want to say they got a young cat on their practice squad that was actually pretty good in college. So, you know, man, I think Juju is playing for a contract, man. And right, I know Pittsburgh, they like to say the right things. And Juju said that we don't look at no stats and all this and all that. Bro, stats get you paid.
Yep, bro.
And that's the bottom line. Stats get you paid or they don't get you paid.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm with you on Juju, man. But actually, it's hard to start Pittsburgh wide receivers because you never know who's going to blow up.
Exactly.
You just never know. Yeah. It's hard to sit Juju, but at the same time, it's like if you sit him and you got a better option, just hope that your better option is going to have a big game. All right, Jermaine, give me a wide receiver you're looking at sitting this week.
I want to go sit Christian Kirk. Christian Kirk, man, he had that little stretch in the middle of the season. He was scoring over 20 points. But the last couple of games, he's really come down to earth, man. I'm thinking going against two New England, he's going to have to be facing Stephon Gilmore or – depending on if Gilmore is going to travel with Hopkins.
Yeah, he's going to travel this week.
Yeah, he may travel, but Christian Kirk just has not – he hasn't stepped up. This would be a good game for him to do so because Larry Fitzgerald, when I took a look at it earlier, he's not playing. But he just has not been consistent. If he's your third wide receiver, maybe you could take a chance. But again, I just don't like the matchup as well as his production in the last few games.
Yeah, I don't like Christian Kirk this week because he's going to be going against is it the Jackson kid with New England?
I'm not sure.
Gilmore's going to travel.
Yeah.
Gilmore's going to travel with D-Hop. All right, I'm quite sure that's Belichick's game plan is to let Gilmore cover D-Hop and put the Jackson kid on Kirk. If I'm looking at a Arizona wide receiver, I might dig deep and maybe Andy Isabella because he's going to be matched up against the third cornerback and he's going to be in the slot. So, but Christian Kirk, yeah, I think he's going to have a bad matchup this week going against the Jackson kid. But I got Tyler Boyd, man, going against the Giants. And this is all because of Joe Burrow, man. Joe Burrow, get well soon, man. You know, FedEx Field is a bad field for quarterbacks. But, you know, rehab and come back stronger next year. But I'm sitting Tyler Boyd, man, this week because they're going to have a backup quarterback. They're going against a solid Giants defense. And Tyler Boyd is probably going to be matched up against Bradbury. And I just don't see him having that much production due to the matchup. I think the only way he has maybe a solid day is if they get behind big and you just got to throw the ball. And, you know, the Giants probably start playing prevent. But outside of that, Tyler Boyd will be on my bench this week. And I would just have to see what he looked like with the backup quarterback, what their rapport looked like, who's the backup quarterback targeting. So, yeah, man, this week, if you got a Bengals wide receiver, I will probably look elsewhere until you can see exactly what the offense is going to look like without Joe Burrow. All right, man, give me a tight end you're looking at sitting this week.
Man, shoot, that's an easy one. That's not many good ones. But I would probably say I would sit Jared Cook. He's been terrible of late. And plus now with Breeze out and Taysom Hill, I'm thinking they're going to be doing a little bit more running with him. Even though he had a good game, Cook just has not – he hasn't stepped up, man. His last three games, he's only had three catches, 36 yards, no touchdowns. So y'all not going to get it, man. Yeah, bro. I mean, nowadays you at least want 7 points out of your starting tight end. That's the least. So I definitely would look elsewhere, guys, if you have an option.
Actually, man, Jared Cook has definitely been a disappointment, man. Even with Breeze in there, he's been a disappointment. I thought he would be a guy that would at least get you at least four catches, 40 yards every week. That's a solid 8 points in PPR. But he's become touchdown dependent. It's like if he doesn't get a touchdown, he doesn't do you any good. So, yeah, man, Jared Cook, man, we need you, man. You need to wake up this week with Taysom. All right, Carl, give me a tight end, bro.
Before I give you my tight end, let me say I had your boy Cook as well, my secondary, and Main was right. I mean, last three games, three catches, two catches, and one catch. And, you know, and those previous two games did have Breeze, like we talked about. Taysom Hill ain't looking for him. Taysom Hill is looking for his wide receivers, and then he gonna run the ball. It's just what it is. He's not even showing himself enough to warrant. I don't even think he needs to be on the roster if you can help it at this time. But
Because you're right, because last week when I watched the game, he was throwing to the Troutman tight end. He was throwing to that guy. He wasn't even looking at Jared Cook or Josh Hill. He was throwing to the Troutman kid. But go ahead, bro.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to cut you off.
So – yeah, no, all good, bro. So the tight end that I'm going to sit, though, is I'm sitting Jimmy Graham this week against Green Bay. They're not using him in the red zone. His numbers support it. His targets the last 3 weeks. I mean, he got good targets against New Orleans and against Tennessee, but against Minnesota, he had two targets and no catches, bro. And he only got, what, 4 or 5 touchdowns all year. And we in week 12, you know, you want your tight end to at least be, you know, upwards to between eight and ten touchdowns by the time you get to week 12. And he's not getting enough uses in the red zone enough for me, because that's what he is now. He's a red zone tight end. He can't stretch field like he used to back when he was with New Orleans. So
yeah, man.
So if you're not even touchdown dependent, then once again, why you know, unless you're in dire straits and you just have to start him because you have nothing else, you know, you need to drop him if you hold him on your roster.
Yeah, man, because it's crazy because I think Jimmy Graham actually made a mistake in the offseason. I know he followed the money, but he should have took the New Orleans deal. I know the New Orleans deal was for less money, and, you know, he would have been, you know, playing probably with Jared Cook or behind Jared Cook. But Sean Payton is good enough where he can put two tight ends on the field and get you looks. And Jimmy Graham started off hot, and, boy, has he fallen off. It's like but, you know, Chicago don't have good quarterback play, though, so – you know, if your quarterback bad, you know, your tight end is going to be bad. Your wide receiver is going to be bad. So, but, man, I'm going with Noah Fant against New Orleans. I think Lattimore is going to be back this week, so everybody is going to be playing in their natural positions this week. So that means Fant is probably going to be matched up against old man Malcolm Jenkins. But Malcolm Jenkins has had a solid year this year as far as covering tight ends. And I think with the New Orleans pass rush coming around, that, you know, I just don't see Locke doing much unless they fall behind, like, really, really big and New Orleans, you know, start playing prevent or whatever. So I'm sitting Noah Fant going against New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
So let's get excited, man. This is the best part of the show. Actually, every part of the show is the best part of the show. But this is why people run it. This is why they tune in. They want to know who they should put in their starting lineup this week. All right, Jermaine, I'm going to start with you, bro. Give me a quarterback you're looking to start this week.
I'm going with Derek Carr. Derek Carr, excellent game last week. He had like 27 points fantasy-wise. And he's going against the Falcons, man. They've allowed like four of the last five quarterbacks going against them. They have over 24 fantasy points. Plus, Atlanta, I think they're going to be in some trouble anyway because if Gurley's not playing, Jones is pretty much a game-time decision. I think Derek Carr and them, man, they're going to run them out of the building and have another great game, man, to continue his momentum.
Yeah, man, once again, Jermaine has been cheating off of my scores card, and he's in North Carolina. And I'm in Denver, and I don't know how he managed to do this, but yes, he has cheated off my scoring paper again. All right, big bro, you got this week, quarterback, you looking to start?
Man, I'm going with Taysom Hill against Denver. Denver is a good defense. They're a good defense, I give them that, but I don't think they're prepared for what I like to call the Taysom Hill experience. I watched what he did against Atlanta, and you know, we all know Atlanta defense. They swarm around, man. And dude was 18 for 23, which is a great completion percentage, 233 yards. Now, yes, he didn't have any passing touchdowns. He ran for two, but he got down there in order to be able to run it in. And I
there
think this week he's going to pick up some passing touchdowns. I think he's going to run. I think he is a must start this week. I believe, because now they had 2 weeks of prepping to get him ready. Actually, you know, he didn't know if he was going to start initially, you know what I'm saying? But now they built the whole game plan around this guy, and I think he's gonna take it up to Denver and do a little something. I'm really excited to see what he does. And secretly, I want them to lose, of course. But fantasy-wise... I want to see what he does because he may have to carry the team to the playoffs. We don't know what's really going to go down with Drew.
Yeah.
Actually, last week when we did this show, bro, remember I said I think secretly Sean Payton wants to do what all these other quarterbacks are doing. He wants to do that read option type stuff and how to run a quarterback. Mm-hmm. Because that's where the NFL is going at right now. And Taysom Hill gives him that. Jameis doesn't. Jameis is a pocket passer. And, you know, and him going to Taysom, that's when that's what he wants to do. He wants to step up, add other layers to the playbook. Taysom can't throw the ball, but Sean Payton wants this new age offense, you know, the threat of the running quarterback, the mobile quarterback, and that just adds so much to your offense. But this week, I gotta roll my man again. I put him as a start last week, and I'm putting him as a start this week. And I told our listeners that if you had Drew Brees go out and pick this guy up, you got to pick up Kirk Cousins, man. Kirk Cousins versus Carolina. Kirk Cousins had a good game against Dallas, even though they lost. He had a good game. Carolina has no pass rush. If you can't put heat on Kirk Cousins, he's going to light you up. Thielen going to light you up. Jefferson going to light you up. But with the Dalvin Cook in the backfield, so many defenses got to focus on stopping the run, and that opens up the play-action game for Kirk Cousins. I'm starting Kirk Cousins this week in your league, Jermaine, and I'm starting him with confidence. I probably look at starting him in DraftKings. I'll see how it goes, but if you got Kirk, if Kirk Cousins is available, stream him this week going against Carolina. All right, man. Big Carl, give me a running back you're looking at starting this week.
Man, I'm starting Mike Davis this week. I know you talked about him earlier, but going against the Vikings, once again, a pretty stout defense, but I think Carolina is going to protect. He's going to protect, what's my man's name?
P.J. Walker.
No, the quarterback.
Teddy Bridgewater, he's going to be back this week?
Yeah, he'll be back this week. So they go. I think they're going to protect him. They're going to protect him pretty good. And I mean, he's averaging 17 points since McCaffrey's been out. I don't see why they, you know, they won't continue to do that. But because, you know, I kind of watch these NFC South teams. And I'm actually impressed with Mike Davis, man. I mean, I think if things work out for him, he'll find him another team where they give him a starting shot, because he earned that. He really has. He don't need to be sitting down behind McCaffrey anymore. They got to find somebody else for that. So, McCaffrey's my guy. He's a must start this week. I mean, I'm sorry, Mike Davis.
I got you. We know what you meant. Hey, man, I'm with you, man. I think Mike Davis, if for Carolina, what is the reason why you bring C-Mac back? What's the reason? If you got a chance to look at the playoffs, you bring him back. But if you got to the playoffs, don't bring him back. Ain't no need for him to have that wear and tear on his body. Let his body rest. Let him heal. Bring him back fresh next year. Run Mike Davis. Mike Davis has been serviceable. He's been a good fill-in. He can do basically all the things McCaffrey can do, run it, catch it, pass, protect. And I think Mike Davis, if I'm Mike Davis, I'm looking at probably trying to go to the Jets next year, play with Trevor Lawrence. You know, they're not going to put everything on Trevor Lawrence. So if he can go there, if he can be a serviceable, good running back, I would look at Mike Davis probably going to the Jets next year, playing with Trevor Lawrence. The running back I'm looking at starting this week is I'm going with Carl's boy. I'm going with Ronald Jones, man. Tampa Bay, wake up. Your offense runs better when you run the ball.
Yep.
Run the ball. Even though if you watched the Rams last week against Tampa Bay, Tampa Bay shut the run down. But what the Rams do, they still ran it. They still ran it, so their pass action game could be part of the game plan. So, Tampa Bay, let Ronald Jones run it this week. Kansas City can be had in the run game. Ronald Jones needs to be your bell cow this week, not Fournette. If you want to give Fournette a goal line carry, I'm not mad about that. From the 20 to the 5, that's all Ronald Jones. So, I'm going Ronald Jones this week. Kansas City gives up at least 5 yards to rush. And the run game for Tampa Bay helps the pass game. So, I'm definitely starting Ronald Jones with full confidence this week. And I think he should have a good game. I think this is going to be a high-scoring game. And look for Ronald Jones to play a major part in this game. All right. But man, give me a wide receiver, bro. All
right, so a wide receiver that I'm going to start this week, man. I'm going with my boy Chris Dobber, man. He did good for me last week. I think this week, again, they are going to throw the ball. The two receivers, I don't think Evans on the outside is going to be getting as much attention this week, but if they utilize it underneath, Chris Godwin is going to be able, I think, to really be effective. 10 targets last week against the Rams. But I think he's really going to carry that momentum and utilize Brady. I think he's going to utilize that short game this week, man. I think he's going to be a solid play.
Actually, I think this week for Tampa Bay, I think this week has to be Cameron Brate, Chris Godwin. I don't think this should be an AB game. AB,
nah.
This should be a Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, and Cameron Brate game and Ronald Jones game to me. I think those are the guys that should get the most of the targets in the passing game for Tampa Bay to be successful. I know AB can get loose, and I know Tom Brady has rapport with AB, but I think his rapport with AB is souring his rapport with the other guys. And I think this the week he needs to go back to Godwin and Evans and Cameron Brate. And I just think that should be their game plan. I don't know how it's going to play out, but I hope that's the way it play out. My wide receiver – no, Carl, I'm going to go with you. So who you say your wide receiver is this week?
Oh, man, you know, I'm going with somebody who not really been on our radar, but last 2 weeks he's been hot. Michael Pittman Jr. in Indianapolis. PPR, he'd be averaging 17 points a game. I'll take that. I think Phillip Rivers is passing it around, and he's finally getting some targets. You know, last three games, he got, 18 targets. And so that's number one receiver type target. So long as he continues to stay hot on the target side, because it's all about the targets. I mean, he's looking at a minimum. He got to the end zone last week. Start Michael Pittman Jr. this week against Tennessee. That's big.
I don't normally say this, but damn, Big Bro was looking at my chest this week too. I got Michael Pittman as a start also. But I'm gonna go with. I'm going with Calvin Ridley, man, going against the Raiders. With Julio being in and out of the lineup, Calvin Ridley has definitely become kind of sort of the 1B wide receiver in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And going against the Raiders, I think Calvin Ridley should find a lot of room. He should be open a lot because Atlanta is going to have to score this week. I think the Raiders going to put up points, and I think Matt Ryan – and the offense is going to have to stay up. I don't think Matt Ryan is going to struggle as much as he did last week. So I think if you have Calvin Ridley, start him with confidence. He should have a big game. He's always good for at least one 40 to 50-yard bomb every game. So I'm looking at starting Calvin Ridley going against Las Vegas, especially with Julio being limited and Calvin Ridley is a deep threat. So start Calvin Ridley this week. All right, Big Bro, give me a tight end you're looking at starting this week.
I'm bringing it on to the house. I'm going Homerville. We starting Gronk this week against Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is the week for Gronk to be the Gronk that we need. Kansas City, you know, they're pretty good at on defense with the exception of the run game. But when it comes to tight ends, they're giving up. We'll say top seven fantasy tight ends in two last four games. So if my man Waller can get them, I don't see why Gronk can't. They done exploited them. I think they're gonna do a game plan to get Gronk loose. I know we talk about Evans and Godwin, but I think this week Gronkowski is gonna be the key to the offense. And once he get going, that'll open up the outside and intermediate routes. And I think we could do a little something. I wouldn't be surprised, first of all, if Tampa Bay beat Kansas City, because that's what Tampa Bay do. You'll get your ass whooped, you know, by, you know, Carolina or somebody. They come back the next week and beat the brakes off of Kansas City looking like a Super Bowl team. That's how it happens, bro. It's a Bucks life for me, bro. That's how it goes.
I don't know. I think y'all have got lucky. Y'all lost to New Orleans. Y'all played Carolina. You lost to New Orleans. You turn around and play Carolina. So I'm just saying. Mm-hmm. But bro, you kind of you shocked me with this one, dog. I thought you would go the other way. I thought you would go with Cameron Brate. And all the reason
Man,
I say that is because Brady has been looking a lot towards Brate, man. I'm going to jump in real quick. I had Cameron Brate as a start this week as far as tight end versus Kansas City. And I put Brate has become Brady's kind of like go-to tight end in the last couple weeks. And I put he's more athletic than Gronk. I think Brady actually likes Brate more than he likes Gronk 20-20. But once you get inside the red zone, I think Brady trusts Gronk more. So I was leaning towards Brate as far as, you know, the guy that gets them down to the red zone and Gronk being the guy that finishes it off in the red zone. So I had Cameron Brate as a start versus Kansas City.
Mm-hmm. That's a good synopsis there, bro. You're right about that. In between the 20s, you know, Gronk is, I think he's still working his way into shape. And Brate is a better athlete. He's just not as big, but he ain't small either, you know. But yeah, I think between the 20s, it's Brate all day since O.J. Howard was not there. You know what I'm saying? But also remember, throwing it to Brate is what ended the game for us last week.
That was
not
a bad
blaming
throw
him because he ain't throw it to himself.
Yeah, that was just a bad throw. I can't believe Brady didn't see that coverage. But you know, I think he was just trying to force it. But that was just a bad read on Brady's part. Actually, he should have came back to the left. He had Evans wide open outside the numbers that he had. Either A.B. or Godwin open on the curl route in the middle. So, you know, that was just a bad throw, bad read by Brady. All right, Jermaine, give me a tight end, bro. You looking at starting this week?
Yeah, I'm starting Hunter Henry versus Buffalo, man. Buffalo's giving up the most fantasy points. Well, I'm sorry, not the most fantasy points, but the most yards versus the tight end. And Hunter Henry, man, he's been hot as of late, man. He's had over 6 targets in his last 3 games. He scored in the last 2 games. And you already know what Herbert is doing, y'all. He's ripping the league up right now. And that's going to be a high-scoring game between them and Buffalo. So I'm definitely recommending starting Hunter Henry this week.
And I think one thing that the Chargers got going for them is Herbert playing in Oregon. So if the weather is bad, it really doesn't affect him as much because he played in it. So if you got Herbert, don't let the weather deter you as far as, like, starting him because he played at Oregon. So he's played in Washington State, Oregon, and Oregon State. So, you know, he's used to playing in weather. So don't be scared to start him based on the weather. All right, Jermaine. Give me a defense you definitely starting this week.
I'm starting the Giants versus Cincinnati, man. They got Brandon Allen, who's taking over for Burrow. And as you stated earlier in the podcast, man, it's going to be interesting to see how he's going to play. And that New York defense, man, Joe Judge, man, he got those boys balling, man. They have been playing some really good defense. Nick Mixon's out right now. The Bengals, you know, they got a committee at running back. Man, it's going to be a tough time for Brandon Allen this coming Sunday, guys. So I would definitely require the Giants defense up.
Yes, my brother Jermaine is definitely a passing student because he has once again cheated off my paper from long distance. But that's okay. That means great minds think alike. So, big bro, give me a defense you're looking at starting this week.
I'm looking at starting the Dolphins against the Jets, bro. The Dolphins, with them, it's not, once again, you know, I always talk about matchups and all the other foolishness. But for me, the Jets, as we talked about earlier, they're just a shit show. And the Jets,
yeah.
I mean, the Dolphins are balling. The Dolphins are balling right now.
Yeah, man, they're wrong.
The Jets giving up the most fantasy points to defense this season. So, I mean, look, it's late in the season. It's all about you trying to juggle for position right now. Maybe you number eight, number seven seed, and you trying to slide in. And you look at your defense, you like, hey, this defense only will give me 4 points. But the Dolphins are supposed to get you 10.
Mm-hmm.
Take the chance, bro. Take the chance. Look at, do your research or listen to our show and find out. You need to start the Dolphins this week.
There you go.
Yeah, man. I mean, the Dolphins defense, it wasn't their fault last week that, you know, that Denver offense actually got on the go. But, you know, the Denver defense just did a number on Tua. And when you're giving the other team, you know, good field position, you know, sometimes you're going to give up points. So Miami defense didn't play as bad as the score indicated last week, but they did show up. I'm going with Cleveland, man. I had the Rams versus San Francisco, but I think that's kind of easy being that the Rams is like one of the top three defenses in the league. I'm going with Cleveland versus Jacksonville, man. This was kind of easy for me to pick. You got Mike Glennon starting at quarterback for Jacksonville, going against Cleveland pass rush, even though they might not have Myles Garrett. They still put pressure on the quarterback last week. Glennon has never been a good quarterback in the league, and I think he's going to struggle again this week going against Cleveland. Although, if the Browns come out and try to put the game in Baker Mayfield's hands, I think that'll get Glennon some chances because Baker is only good with a good running game. But I definitely will look at picking up Cleveland's defense, maybe streaming them this week going against Jacksonville. I've never thought Glennon was a good quarterback. So, you know, I would definitely start Cleveland's defense this week. All right, big bro, give me a sleeper.
Well, my sleeper this week is Cam Scramble Newton. Last week he finally crossed the 300-yard plateau. I've been, you know, throwing my hand in the air for him to be the comeback player of the year. I think that's out of here now. But I think he's finally getting his footing in this New England offense. And he's going against Arizona, and they used to be in shootout. So I expect a shootout. Yeah. I think Cam is going to, you know, look across the field and see this little fella, you know, out here doing magic. And he's going to step it up. I'm not saying he's going to win, but I think Cam is going to put up some great fantasy numbers for you this week. Cam Newton, sleep of the week.
All right, Jermaine, your turn.
All right. For a quarterback, or what was that now?
No, that's a sleeper.
Anything.
Oh.
Sleeper, any position.
Oh, man, that's a good one. Man, you know what? That Colts-Titans game, I'm going with Corey Davis, man. A.J. Brown, that last game they played, he didn't do nothing, but Corey still had a solid game. And he had a really good game, solid game last week too. I'm going with I got him in a couple leagues. I'm going with Corey, man. Just to see, I think he'll have a good game this week.
See, my brother Jermaine forgot. He must have forgot who he said to sit. He said sit Tannehill, but we're looking at Corey Davis as a sleeper. I don't know how 1 and 1 equals 2. But okay, I'm gonna put Corey Davis down as your sleeper.
As long as he gets 6 points, he gets a touchdown. That's all I need, baby. All
right, man. My sleeper this week, actually, shouldn't even be a sleeper. But Damian Harris, man, going against Arizona.
Damian Harris has rushed for 100 yards or has a touchdown since they put him in the lineup and he came off that injury. This guy has been balling. And it's been quiet because New England is – when was the last time we say New England been under the radar? I mean, New England's under the radar, and Damian Harris is – man, he's definitely produced. I would start him this week going against Arizona. I'm going to go with my bro on this one. I think this is the week Cam Newton should be able to throw it, and this is the week that Damian Harris should be able to run it for New England. So, hey, if you got Damian Harris, put him in your lineup. If he's available, pick him up and start him. I'm probably going to play him in my DraftKings this week because I think he's going to be on the cheap and I think he's going to produce. But look, man, this is our week 12 wrap up. You know, me and my bros coming at y'all every week. This is probably the most important 2 weeks in your fantasy football season. If you jockeying for playoff position or you just trying to secure your spot in the playoffs. I'm going to put our starts and our sits on Twitter in a little bit. But Jermaine, any last words?
Man, take this season to really just really be thankful for family. Yeah, man, especially it's been a crazy year. So definitely take time to spend it with your family and embrace it and enjoy it.
All right, man.
I double down on that, man. I miss the days when we all get together.
Man, yeah.
I don't know if we could have done it this year if we wanted to, but you know, one of these Thanksgiving, you know, we got to do it like old school.
Man, that'd be
yeah,
nice.
Man. The crazy part is the last time we actually really kicked it was at Carlin Corner House in Charlotte. When we bought the little grill and we was out there barbecuing.
Yeah.
And had the music playing. Yeah. That was the last time really kicked the kinky. Yep,
yes,
man.
Sir.
So,
yes, sir.
Yep. But, you know, man, I said this on Twitter. I said this on LinkedIn. And I'm going to say it on my show. I want to send a shout out to the military men and women that are away from their families during the holidays. You know, we understand why you're away. You may not be here with us, but we have you in our minds, in our hearts, and in our prayers, and we're praying for your safe return. You know, me and my big bro Carl, we're both in the military, and, you know, I always want to pass that along during the holiday season because it doesn't always go unknown or unsaid, but sometimes when it's out of mind, it's all, you know, when you don't see it, you don't talk about it. So I just want to send them a shout out. And look, man, that's fantasy true. Football, like my brother always say, me and my two brothers always say, it ain't about the name on the jersey, it's about production. These next 2 weeks for your team, it should be all about production and matchup. Put your lineup in, do it with no second guessing, and roll with it. If you got a second guess, then you probably gonna have issues. But we wish everybody a good. Me and Jermaine, good luck this week, bro.
Yes, sir. Good luck, bro.
Yep. I think if I lose you, I'll drop down to either third or fourth. So, I really don't want to do that. And, you know, it is what it is, man. So, hey, if you look at my team and Big Clark's Invitational, my team is a grinded out team. I don't have no blowout wins. All my wins are close. So, but, yeah, man, good luck this week. Everybody have fun. Be safe. Practice social distancing. Me and my two bros will get back with y'all next week, next Friday. We'll definitely come with more fire next week. We're going to try to get you into the playoffs, tell y'all what y'all need to do going into the playoffs.
probably the week of the playoffs, we'll probably do something a little different. I'm going to throw it out to my brothers probably next week. We're going to probably give y'all which teams y'all should definitely look at as far as having a good matchups as far as fantasy-wise and doing your playoffs. But, hey, you got to get there first, so don't you worry about the playoffs. Mm-hmm. You worry about winning this week. So, everybody take care. Have a good weekend. Three Bros Fantasy Football Show logging off. Everybody, stay safe, stay healthy, and as always, peace.
Peace.
That's how we do it.